The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter number 4, text number 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on April 9th, 2007, in Cologne, Germany.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter number 4, text number 2.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shri
Brahmavacha
Tate me
durlabha
pungsam
Yan vrinishe varan mama
Tathapi vitaram
yango
Varan
yad yapi durlabhan.
Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Rama said, O Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions for which you have asked me are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, O my son, I shall grant you them, although they are generally not available. Purport. Material benedictions are not always exactly worthy of being called benedictions. If one possesses more and more, a benediction itself may become a curse. For just as achieving material opulence in this material world requires great strength and endeavor, maintaining it also requires great endeavor. Lord Brahma informed Hiranyakashipu that although he was ready to offer him whatever he had asked, the result of the benedictions would be very difficult for him, for Hiranyakashipu, to maintain. Nonetheless, since Brahma had promised, he wanted to grant all the benedictions asked. The word durlabhan indicates that one should not take benedictions one cannot enjoy peacefully. Om Agyanatimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. What a situation. People are struggling like anything to get advanced materially, you see. Struggle, 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 by hook or by crook. They want to advance materially, but what is the result? Simply trouble. They take so much trouble and so much austerity to advance materially, and the result is more trouble. Is that a very favorable situation for peace and happiness? No. It is most unfavorable situation for peace and happiness. Even someone who is so expert materially, he can get such boons from Lord Rama himself, he's simply setting himself up for nothing but big trouble. Durlabhan. Very difficult situation. So this is a very good lesson for us, that we should not make our endeavor for material progress beyond what is necessary to keep body and soul together. The present day world situation has put everything into material advancement. It has created a tremendous burden on this planet. Look at the air pollution, look at the water pollution, look at the sound pollution. Look at all the agitation, the anxiety, the terrorism, the crime, etc., etc., etc. So much anxiety, you see. This material consciousness has created a tremendous burden on the earth, you see. If the same, even Prabhupada explains, even if there was a greater world population than we have now and they were all Krishna conscious, it would not be a burden for the earth. Or, differently stated, there are two types of burdens. There is one burden called the burden of love, and the other burden is called the burden of the beast, you see. For the parents, the burden of the child is a wonderful burden. They have their darling little child, and it's such burden, but they would not like to be relieved from that burden. That burden is a great source of joy and happiness for them. You see? So there is the burden of love, and there is the burden of the beast, the hellish, absolutely useless burden, which is nothing but torment, the burden of the beast. So this modern day civilization, it is burden of the beast. The earth is crying in this condition, being burdened by this materialistic civilization. Mother Earth is being tormented by this materialistic civilization. So, material benedictions, if they can be utilized for Krishna, that is all right. Just like here, this is a great benediction. A microphone, an MP3 recorder, these are very convenient and useful for Krishna. Any material thing, if it can be utilized in the service of Krishna, it should not be given up. But that same material thing, utilized for sense gratification, that should be given up. Just as Srila Prabhupada explains, they are cutting down so many trees to print paper. And what are they printing on the paper? Pornography. You see? Simply garbage. He says they should only cut down trees for producing Krishna conscious literature. You see, if that was done, then the environment would naturally, if we only utilize the environment for Krishna, then automatically all the pollution would go away. You see? If we only did things for Krishna conscious purposes, then automatically all the world problems would be solved. So this is a very important program, this Krishna consciousness movement. It can indeed solve every single problem of the human society. But the difficulty is, in the present day civilization, who are we following in the footsteps of? Who is our great hero? Prabhupada said, nowadays, everyone is simply a tiny Hiranyakashipu. Is it? They want to lord it over this material world. That is the present situation. Everybody wants to be like Hiranyakashipu, the lord of all they survey. Actually, Hiranyakashipu, he's the original terrorist, you see. He terrorizes the universe. He's the original Osama bin Laden, Hiranyakashipu. And that also, that Maharaj Vena, he was also in the same vein, the same line. That Maharaj Vena, he was such a rascal, unbelievable. You know what he told the Brahmins? He said, "You Brahmins, you do not know who I am. I am God." Told the Brahmins, "I am God. You worship me. Give up worshiping Vishnu and you worship me instead." So this is the position of the modern day scientists. They want to deny the existence of God. They say that Darwin, he was a brilliant, enlightened person. And now he has freed us from slavery to the idea of God. You see, Darwin has saved us. He's our savior. You see, They complain about religion, but they have created a new religion. But it's just like they complain, well, these religions, they are dogmatic. They want you to blindly accept this thing and that thing. They are doing the same thing, and they call it science. It's simply another dogmatic religion. Their Lord and Savior is Charles Darwin, and they appoint themselves as the high priests in this Darwinian religion, you see. It's all dogmatic, you see. Simply dogmatic. They say that life has no meaning except whatever meaning you give to it. But my question is this, why do you have an inclination to give it meaning, sir? Why are you inclined to give it meaning? If it has no meaning, why would you even be inclined to give it meaning? Just as we hanker for water because water exists. You see? If there were no such thing as water, would you have thirst? You see? Would you have thirst if water did not exist? No. You have thirst because water exists. So similarly, you have a thirst for meaning. You have a thirst for that existence must have a meaning because meaning does exist. So the next question is, and how to find out what is that meaning? If you see some man doing something strange on the street, and you can't figure out why is he doing that, how do you figure out? You ask him, why are you doing that? What is your meaning or purpose for doing that activity? And he can tell you. So similarly, if you want to know the meaning of existence, then you have to go to the source of existence, and then you can find out the meaning, you see. Just as the doer of the activity, he knows why. Similarly, the source, you must go to the source of existence to understand the meaning of existence. This is intelligent. But they want us to blindly accept their great authority as the high priests of the religion called Darwinism, you see. We have to bow down to Darwin, accept him as our savior from, you know, dogmatism. It's simply a new dogma, another brand of dogmatism. That's all it is, you see. If you go from one dogma to another dogma, have you advanced? No. If you want to actually advance beyond dogmatic thinking, then you have to stop thinking and dogmatically. You have to actually apply your brain, you see, to understand what is the absolute truth. Therefore, the Vedanta Sutra instructs us to do that. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now you've got a human form. You should utilize it to understand who you are, where you've come from, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of your existence? How will you achieve perfection? These questions we are meant to ask. And actually, these things are, that knowledge is actually already there within us. Just as a match contains fire within it, simply requires striking, and then the fire will come out. This knowledge is innate. It is actually there within us. Deep within our heart, we actually know who we are. We know what our duty is. We know what our purpose is. These things are actually known to us. But as we explained last night, right now we're suffering from a disease of amnesia. That's all. We've simply forgotten. Therefore, we have many reminders. The scripture is there, the spiritual master is there, the Vaishnavas are there. These personalities and these scriptures are there to remind us who we actually are. So, when you actually awaken that dormant Krishna consciousness within by striking the match, and what is that striking process? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When you engage in that process of reviving the dormant consciousness, within, dormant enlightened consciousness within you, then you will actually awaken and remember who you are. It is not dogma. As we explained, it is simply knowing who you are and being who you are. It is a very simple program. It doesn't require, you know, so many mental speculations, so many dogmatic ideas that have to be drilled into your head to save you from other dogmatic concepts. We have been conditioned to illusion. So to become conditioned by another version of illusion, which is what modern science is doing, is no advancement. It's not any advancement at all. Simply to give up one illusion and go to another illusion. Have you made any progress? No. Progress means you come out of illusion. Then you have made progress. So, to be handed from one cheetah to another cheetah, what is the benefit? To actually come out of the domain of the cheetahs into the domain of the enlightened teachers. You know that word teacher, the English word, T-E-A-C-H-E-R. You take those same exact letters, you simply switch the C-H with the T, and teacher becomes cheater. You see? The same thing. So, who will you go to hear from? You go to cheater, you go to teacher. Intelligent person thinks, why I should be cheated? Let me find an actual cheater, a teacher. You see? Someone may say, well, there is no such thing as an actual teacher, because actually there is no absolute truth. So, you know, there is no such thing as a bona fide guru. Only the cheaters are there. But consider it intelligently before you jump onto some dogmatic philosophical bandwagon. Consider it intelligently. Here in Europe, the common currency now is the euro. And sometimes there are counterfeit euros out there. You know, the counterfeiters will try to make some, become rich by printing, you know, counterfeit euros. And they'll circulate them until they get caught and shut down by the government. So does the presence of counterfeit euros mean that euros are bad? No. The presence of counterfeit euro means there's a genuine euro somewhere. It is simply imitation of the genuine thing. So the presence of cheaters doesn't mean that everyone's a cheater. They are simply imitating the actual teacher. So we should not become frustrated. Oh, somebody handed me, just like it happened to me in India. We were, I think it was last year before last, yeah. We were leaving India, heading out for Malaysia, turning our rupees into dollars, you know. Gave them a 500 rupee note. They said, no, this is counterfeit. So does that mean I won't go to India anymore? Because there was a counterfeit note, one counterfeit note. All the others were good. But only one note was bad. So just because there are cheaters out there, does that mean I become frustrated and I say I refuse to accept anyone as a teacher? No. The presence of counterfeit notes indicates somewhere there is genuine note. So let me find that actual genuine spiritual master, that genuine teacher. You see? This is intelligent. when you actually find the genuine teacher, the genuine spiritual master, then he can reveal everything to you. Om Ajnana Timananda Shaganandana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was standing in the darkest ignorance with my eyes tightly closed shut when the spiritual master came to me. He's forcing my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge, you see. Spiritual master is empowered by God to enlighten the students, to pull them out of the darkness of ignorance and bring them to the transcendental platform, Krishna consciousness. So one should seek out a spiritual master. One should seek out a bona fide guru. This is the Vedic injunction. Tadviganartam saguru meva vigatschet. Do we have any Sanskrit grammarians here? Anyone Sanskrit grammarian? In Sanskrit grammar, there are different verbal endings which create different meanings for the verbs. It's like we say, gachati, he goes. Or gachanti, you put the N in there, gachanti, they go. So you, the same go verb, you say gachet, it means must go, you see. That is called vidhi-lin form of the verb, when it is absolutely compulsory. That is called vidhi-lin form of the verb. So in this shloka of the Mundaka Upanishad, the vidhi-lin form of the word go is utilized, gatschet. That means there's no choice. You absolutely have to do this. You must go to the spiritual master. Tadvaganartam sagrumi va bigatschet. You must absolutely go. So if one will, of course one still may be skeptical because when they think, well, that's another, maybe it's another dogmatic thing, the Mundaka Upanishad. Maybe it's another dogma, for all I know. So how will you actually know? Well, we encourage you to be scientific about it. What do scientists do? Scientists perform experiments, isn't it? And they observe the result of the experiment and they draw conclusions. So, we encourage you to be scientific about this Krishna consciousness movement. You perform the experiment. In this experiment, you are the guinea pig. You put yourself into the experiment. Just like when I was a high school student, they taught me in the classroom, H2O equals water. And then they sent us down the hall to the laboratory and said, okay, now here's how you do it. You combine two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, what appeared in my test tube? Water. It's true. H2O does equal water. It was confirmed by my practical experience. So in the same way, we encourage you that you have heard now that if you chant Hare Krishna mantra, that you will awaken your eternal, original spiritual identity as a servant of God. You'll actually feel and realize and understand who you really are, like a person coming out of amnesia. You see that in the lecture section, you've heard that. So now go to the laboratory. Seriously take up chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And see if, in fact, you do get water in your test tube. You see? You make the scientific experiment. We're not asking you to blindly accept this. Blind following is condemned. We forbid anyone to be a blind follower here. You see? You cannot be a blind follower. It's not allowed in this country. You must make the experiment. That's why everybody has to chant 16 rounds. We're forcing everybody to go to the lab and perform the experiment. So you will actually awaken your dormant enlightened consciousness. And you will know because you have personally experienced it. No one has to, you know, dogmatize you with some, you know, hitting you over the head. You know, like the Bible bat, you know, the Bible people shoving the Bible down our throat. It's not like that. This is a scientific process. It works. If you will chant Hare Krishna, you will awaken the dormant enlightened consciousness within, and you will actually realize this is true. And you will come to the point where you will personally see God. You see, that's a thing. That is actually the goal. Srila Prabhupada personally ordered me. It's a wonderful instruction that Prabhupada gave me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. It's a wonderful instruction. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
During the process of cleaning in the Hare Krishna movement, it became obvious that a lot of disciples were worshipping a guru who wasn't on the level to be worshipped like Srila Prabhupada. How can we differ between Shakti and a real bona fide guru?
You said between something and a real bona fide guru. What is it?
Yes.
Charlatan?
Shakti. Between Shakti and a bona fide guru. How can we differ?
Shakti? The bona fide guru has Shakti.
Also, yeah.
What is that shloka? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. If there is Shakti, Guru has Shakti, and Shakti means Guru. If he is Guru, he must have Shakti, and if he has Shakti, he must be Guru. If he doesn't have Krishna Shakti, he's not a Guru. If he's not a Guru, he doesn't have Krishna Shakti. Those things go together. A person who has the empowerment of Krishna, the Shakti of the Krishna Shakti, he must be a Guru. Otherwise, how he has the Shakti? Those things go together. Someone can actually transmit Krishna Shakti. They are Guru, naturally. They must be. Otherwise, how they can transmit Krishna Shakti?
There are no steps in between, because it sounds so absolute when you say it like that. Because
steps in between?
Yeah, because there were also a lot of leaders who were very impressing and had a lot of disciples.
Oh yeah, well, there is material Shakti also. Prabhupada explains how the yogis, they have a Shakti to, razzle-dazzle the people and take the money and go. I mean, that's also there. That's material Shakti. But one who can actually bestow Krishna Bhakti, you see, that is Guru. Now, there is sometimes a phenomenon where someone is acting as Guru, but then they actually prove that by their actions they are not really Guru. That's stated in our book. That example is given of Shukracharya. You see, Bali Maharaj was worshipping as his Guru, Shukracharya. He was always following the advice and instructions of Guru Maharaj very dutifully. But then when he noticed that Guru Maharaj was contradicting his own instructions. He was always saying, yes, worship Vishnu. But then Vishnu personally came and he said, no, don't worship Vishnu. Because Shukracharya, he was getting very nice Guru Dakshina. His disciple was a very wealthy king. He was getting big, big Guru Dakshina. But now Bali is coming and he's taking everything away. Oh, my Guru Dakshina will also go away, you see. So he noticed there was a contradiction there. When Shukracharya was speaking in accordance with Shastra, then Bali Maharaj accepted, yes, Guruji. But when he noted that Guru Maharaj is now going against Shastra, forget it. You see. So the actual criterion is the Shastra. Prabhupada said the Guru is not the center, the Shastra is the center. That person who is purely presenting the Shastra, who is living the Shastra, who is thinking Shastra, speaking Shastra, breathing Shastra, that is Guru. You see? That is Guru. So how do you know? Well, you have to be well read. That's why Prabhupada said all of the members of this movement should read all of my books. You see? If somebody was misled by someone who really wasn't qualified, that means they weren't well read in the books. This is not a personality cult, you see, this is Vedic culture based on Vedas. So all the members of our movement, they should become, this is why now we're emphasizing Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhava. Everyone should become learned in these books of Srila Prabhupada. And that way our movement will be protected from persons who have some material motive, want to establish themselves as a big this or that for gross or subtle sense gratification, and then after they get tired of it, they go away. You see, we'll be protected from those kind of people. If we all carefully study these books, very carefully, scrutinizingly study Prabhupada's books. So it's not that only Prabhupada is the spiritual master. He ordered. He Prabhupada personally encouraged me that I could become spiritual master. Personally encouraged me. Actually, that is what the spiritual master wants. He wants that his disciples should become qualified as spiritual masters. Prabhupada himself states, the one who is now the disciple, he is the next spiritual master. The Ritvik people, and they say that, well, you know, in July, Prabhupada introduced Ritvik system, July of 77. But, and they fail to note, they don't like to note, that in October, Prabhupada was initiating through a Ritvik system for those months. In other words, he had his representatives do all the functions of initiation, every function. In the beginning, Prabhupada did everything, but then gradually he turned it over more and more to his disciples. And in the end, those final months, he had them do everything except the fact that the disciples were his disciples, became his disciples. But then in October, he said, now I will stop initiating in this condition, and now you do. Right before he left, he said, now I will, in this condition, I will stop initiating. So that Ritvik system that he instituted for those final months, he stopped it in October of 1977. Clearly. So that that his disciples would now take over the function of initiating. So there is definitely an instruction from Prabhupada that his disciples should perform this role of becoming spiritual masters. Now we don't expect that any of us are another Prabhupada. Even amongst the previous acharyas, where do we find another Prabhupada? You see? No acharya accomplished what Srila Prabhupada did. Even Lord Chaitanya did not accomplish what Prabhupada did. In the history of the world, we will never find another guru like His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Manamaham Zipari Vajakacharja, Astatarasadashishi Maresi Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. There has never been a guru like him. There will never be a person like him. No one can ever expect to equal Prabhupada. If even the previous acharyas didn't equal him in his potency for spreading this movement, we can't expect anyone to do that, you see. Prabhupada is absolutely, totally unique. But that does not mean that he cannot empower his sincere followers to act as spiritual masters. It doesn't mean that. You see, you don't have to be another Prabhupada to be a spiritual master. You just have to be fully, totally surrendered to him. That's all. Even Prabhupada, to make the point, he said, I may be perfect, I may not be perfect, but what I'm giving you is perfect. He said, actually, I'm not perfect. What I'm giving you is perfect. That is the actual criterion for a spiritual master. Is he giving the perfect knowledge without adding to or subtracting? Just like, what is that company? DHL, you see. The DHL man, he cannot open your package and add something. He cannot open your package and subtract something. Then he'll be fired. If he is simply a good, loyal employee, then he is good man. So, the guru, he's simply DHL man, that's all. His only qualification, he has to be very honest, DHL man. Whatever is in the package, he doesn't tamper with it. He just gives the package exactly as it was handed to him from the headquarters and gives it to the person. So the bona fide spiritual master is that. Whatever has been given to him from his guru, he gives it in its pure form without addition, without motivation. It purely gives. That is guru. Is that all right?
Yes. I have another question, but there are also other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay?
Questions more? There's a question there.
Yeah. Resonator of instruction point, I'm not sure you understood. It said that Rupa Goswami said, as a Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada, that every devotee should be so intelligent to discriminate between Kanishtha, Madhyama, Uttamadhi.
Yes, that's right. There's Kanishta, Majjam, and Uttama. And it's stated that the disciple should choose as his guru Uttama Adhikari, otherwise he will suffer under insufficient guidance. So this means that our gurus in ISKCON, they must become Uttama Adhikari. They absolutely have to. That's a mandate. They should take that as a mandate, that you must be an Uttamadhikari. You have to. You have no option. As one of the initiating gurus, I feel tremendous pressure that every thought that goes through my brain, I have to see, is this the way a completely pure devotee would think? Every word that comes out of my mouth, I have to analyze, is this the way a completely pure devotee would speak? In every action I perform with my body, I have to carefully scrutinize, is this the way a completely pure devotee would act? There's no room, there's no slack, you see. There's no slack for the spiritual master. He doesn't get to, take it easy every now and then. No. He has to constantly guard himself that every thought is absolutely pure, every word is absolutely pure, and every action is absolutely pure. He has no choice. Because it's a fact. If our spiritual master is not an Uttama Adhikari, Prabhupada says we are suffering under insufficient guidance. Actually, there are many. Prabhupada describes in many places the difference. One difference is the Kanishta Adhikari, he is, he worships the deities, but he doesn't know how to respect devotees. Okay, that's Kanishta. The Majjama Adhikari, he has full faith in the scripture, but he is not expert in defeating opposing arguments. And the Uttama Adhikari, he has full faith in the scripture, plus he is very, very expert at defeating all opposing arguments. That's one definition of Uttama Adhikari. Another definition is he's always thinking. He's constantly meditating on how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's another definition given. So there are different definitions of Uttama Adhikari. And according to many of the definitions, we could classify the ISKCON gurus as Uttama Adhikaris, according to many of the definitions given by Srila Prabhupada. So in that way, we can feel relieved that we can get some good guidance. Someone says, well, what are you? What's your position? Well, the Uttama Adhikari doesn't even think that he's a devotee. If you actually ask someone's an Uttama Adhikari what he feels his standing is in Krishna consciousness, he will say, actually, I'm not Krishna conscious. I'm just begging for the mercy of my spiritual master that I can be Krishna conscious. He doesn't feel himself to be even a devotee, what to speak of being an advanced devotee. That's the actual mood of an Uttama Adhikari. It's described by Srila Prabhupada. So you can't really get a... an Uttama Adhikari will never say that I'm an Uttama Adhikari. Never will. If he does, then you can doubt if he's really an Uttama Adhikari or not. can seriously doubt, well, why is he saying he's an Uttamadhikari? Uttamadhikaris don't even think they're devotees. Questions more? Yeah.
Well, a lot of disciples who never saw Srila Prabhupada and were initiated and his disciples.
And you never saw Prabhupada?
Yes.
Okay.
They never saw Prabhupada and they are his disciple, and they were not re-initiated when he left his body. What is the difference between Diksha and Shiksha concerning this point?
The difference between Diksha and Shiksha concerning someone who got Diksha from Prabhupada and someone who only got Shiksha? I don't understand. I'm a little hard of hearing, so can you tell me? Come here close and tell me.
He was asking,
sorry for the bad ears, what can I do? Yeah.
No, he was asking if they are devotees. Of Prabhupada, they never they never saw him physically.
What about initiated disciples who never saw him physically?
Yeah, and after Prabhupada left this material world, they have to take reinitiation then?
No.
And then he was asking,
no one who got Diksha from Prabhupada had to be reinitiated. No, of course not. When Prabhupada was present on the planet, he accepted disciples. Mostly everyone saw Prabhupada. There was a few who didn't. No, they did not require reinitiation. Because Prabhupada, there's a certain Shakti. When the Guru is physically present on the planet, there's a special Shakti at that time. And they actually connected with that Shakti by getting Diksha. So that doesn't require, you have to actually see. In my own coming to Krishna consciousness, my actual meeting with Prabhupada was before I ever physically saw him. Sometimes people say, oh, how did you meet Prabhupada? Tell us how you met Prabhupada. I was offered to physically go and see him, but I refused because I was a Mayavad at the time. I didn't want the Swami to pop my little I am God bubble, you see. So I turned down two golden opportunities to go and meet Prabhupada. I didn't go. I mean, he was 5 minutes away from where I was staying in Berkeley. He came. Mukundlal Prabhu, my godbrother, invited me. Didn't go. And then next, that was 69. And in 68, there was a Mataji. Her house was functioning as the Berkeley ISKCON Center at the time. And she invited me to come. A whole van load was going down, you know, van load of brahmacharis. And guests were going down to participate in the festival. I didn't go. But I actually, getting to the point of very seriously wanting to realize God and praying for guidance, and then Vishnu Janmaya showed up in town. And by associating with him and hearing from him about Srila Prabhupada and seeing what Prabhupada had done for him, what Prabhupada's shelter had done for his life, I actually reached the point of one day, by hearing the Radha Krishna Temple album, in a moment of, you know, divine ecstasy, hearing the Gavastakam prayers, I surrendered myself to Prabhupada. So that was my actual meeting with him, even before I saw him. I actually fully surrendered to Prabhupada as my eternal spiritual master before I laid my eyes on him. And then, of course, shortly after that, I saw him. So yeah, the real meeting is Vani. That is the actual meeting. Those persons who fully connected with Prabhupada in his Vani form, they remain solidly. If someone was, many devotees, Prabhupada was, they were more associating with the Prabhupada Vapu, Prabhupada's Vapu. And after he left, they couldn't keep it together, you see. So the actual thing is you must connect with Vani, the vibrational presence of the spiritual master. And that vibrational presence, it is present now also. Prabhupada is fully present just as much now as he was back in 1971 when I surrendered to him. That doesn't mean he will give Diksha. Diksha is only given when the Bapu is present. After Vapu leaves, then the disciples of the Acharya, they perform diksha. They initiate disciples, their own disciples, in that line. So, any other questions? Did you have?
No.
All right. You were just stretching. Okay.
I also heard about the definition of diksha, that it is the accepting of the Vedic principles and the...